So I said earlier in those readings today, what a wonderful affirmation and declaration there is in the supremacy of Jesus Christ. It's through him and only through him that we find our salvation and our rest. God is good. And through all the ups and downs of life, God is good and Jesus is the way through it all. In this life and supremely into the next. King David, in that wonderful psalm, Psalm 23, just reminds us of the nature and the character of God. That God cares for us. He provides for us. He sustains us. He directs us, protects us, pursues us. With a decision made to trust and follow Jesus Christ, we have all that we need. There is no one like him. The Lord is my shepherd. It's he who makes me lie down. He revives me. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, you spread a table, you pursue me. It's all about him. And Jesus tells us that the qualities described by David in that psalm are in him. I am the good shepherd. Everything that David was speaking about is found in Jesus Christ. I am the one who cares for you, provides for you, sustains you, directs you, protects you, pursues you. It's all in him. It's all in Jesus. There is power in that name. And yet the world seeks to silence it. Because there is power in that name of Jesus Christ, the world seeks to silence it, to minimize it, marginalize it, ridicule it. And then in the process, those of us who uphold that name and find it precious, we are also in that firing line. We're marginalized, we're ridiculed, we're told to be quiet. And that was what was happening with Peter and John. A fantastic thing had happened in the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we will celebrate in a few weeks' time. There are Peter and John stood there before the religious leaders, literally just a couple of hundred yards away from where a few weeks previously they had denied Christ. They're just a few hundred yards away from where Christ was sentenced and where he was crucified. And now look at them, so full of confidence, so full of faith. Nothing is holding them back. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. They've come across this guy who's been crippled for 40 years. And he's begging for money. He says, hey, come on, squire, give us some cash, will you? And there they are, a couple of broke preachers. And they're saying, we haven't got any money. But what we have got, you can have. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. And he gets up and he walks. And everybody sees it. And then we're told that because of them sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, 5,000 people come to faith. Because of the power that there is in the name of Jesus. They are fearless in sharing his name. What a transformation. And the authorities want to shut them up. They can see that this guy is walking again. They can't deny that. And in fact, interestingly, they don't tell them to stop healing people. They just tell them to stop healing them in the name of Jesus. Which, of course, they can't. Because it's Jesus that's got the power. And so they're saying, what name, what authority are you doing this in? Now, in the ancient world, the great authority hung by the name that you used when you were coming to give a message. Or if you were trying to get a point across, the Greeks would use the names of their gods. The Romans did the same. But the Romans in this culture also, they knew if they used the name of Caesar, it had authority. Or if you used the name of the governor, or even your proconsul or the centurion, it had authority. When you were using the name of somebody who was higher than yourself, it carried authority. And so the religious leaders are saying, by whose name are you doing this? And that's where Peter and John say, well, by the name of Jesus. He could have stopped there, but he decided to poke him in the eye with it as well. By the name of Jesus, the one whom you crucified. How's that worked out for you? There's power in that name. We need to speak out that power and that name more and more frequently. We need to get used to doing it, to speaking it out, to saying it. It needs to be on our lips. It needs to be in our prayer life. If you're not used to using the name Jesus Christ, start using it. Start with your prayers. Get your lips used to forming the names. There's power in it. Peter harps back to Psalm 118. He says, the stone that was rejected has become the cornerstone. The cornerstone, or the capstone, is the most important stone in a building. It had to be true. It had to be right. It had to be perfect. Because from that, every other measurement for that building was taken. If there was a fault in the cornerstone, it was rejected and a new stone brought in. Because the tiniest little alteration or defect in that cornerstone would affect the whole of the building. Peter is reminding them, hey, you rejected Jesus. But that cornerstone that you rejected has now become the most important thing that ever existed. The name of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone on which we need to build our lives. Faith in Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, has power. Sing it, pray it, speak it, believe it. And his name is used with power today, isn't it? Sadly, the power that is more usually used is in the power of a curse or a swear word. People still use it because it's got this power behind it. Now, I don't know how you feel or how you respond when you hear the name of Jesus being spoken in that way in front of you or in your hearing. I know there are times in my life when it's gone unchallenged. But I am not doing that more and more now. I used to challenge it a lot with the kids at school. And I am challenging it, and we need to challenge it. And it's so easy to challenge it. When somebody swears or uses foul language in front of you, why do you think that you've got the right to do that? Why do you think my ears need to hear that obscenity? When they use the name of our Lord in that way, it's so easy to challenge it. You just say, yes, you're right. He is the Christ. And because he is the Christ, I find it offensive when you use his name in that way. If you're going to continue doing it, then I can't stop you, but please don't do it near me. Bumf. Done. When we let it go, we're joining in with the world in reducing the power of his name, minimizing the power of his name. We're joining in with it. It's almost like saying to them, it doesn't matter that you do that. No, we need to challenge it. I regularly write to broadcasters and media, BBC or ITV or Channel 5, whatever it is, If there's been a program where the name of Jesus has been regularly abused, I write in to tell them I find it offensive. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? And how will they ever know? And how will it ever change? And the other thing I challenge them with is this. I notice that you do not use the name of the Muslim prophet in exactly that same way. Why? Because you know it's going to bring violence against you. And you think that we're easy game. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. The name of Jesus is the name that's above all else. We need to uphold it. They think that God's word can be manipulated and ridiculed and minimized and shaped to what they want. It can't. And we need to stand for that. Hey, folks, I tell you right now, I've got enough struggle with the world doing it. I've also got the church doing it as well at the minute. Cannot believe what is coming out the mouths of some of our religious leaders at the moment. The name of Jesus has got power in it. We do not reduce it. We do not minimize it. Even the demons know there's power in the name of Jesus. Remember that account from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Legion. And he sees Jesus coming towards him and he says, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Demons know the power in the name of Jesus. They recognize it. Neutrality is not an option. It's not an option for us. And Jesus reminds us of that. We were coming against this verse a few months ago, weren't we? Matthew 12. You're either for me or you're against me. Neutrality is not an option. Jesus has made it quite clear on that one. And he warns us to stand firm. Jesus says, "Now, come on, hold fast. Do not be embarrassed about my name. Don't reject my name, because those who are embarrassed about my name and reject my name, do not expect me to welcome you when I come back in glory, because I will be embarrassed about you and I will reject you." Now, those are strong words from the Lord, but they're from the Lord. Because there is power in his name, and we must not forget that. Stand firm. Every time we declare his name and raise his name high, we are raised high. You know, when we are struggling, or even when we're in a position of great thanksgiving, that we use his name. "Jesus, I thank you for this day that you've blessed me with. Jesus, I thank you for that wonderful conversation I had just a moment ago. Jesus, I thank you for blessing me with this, with that." We raise him up. Or when we've got a challenge, let's apply his word using the power of his name. When we're struggling, when we feel oppressed, when we're lacking direction, even if we go back to Psalm 23, "Jesus, I thank you that your promise is that you will lead me into better places. Jesus, I thank you that your promise is that you will never leave me or forsake me, and your love pursues me." We use the power of his name. Everywhere we can, whenever we can, wherever we can, as often as we can. To misquote John Wesley. Bishop James, when I was licensed, a couple of days before I was licensed, he said to me, "Dave, I continue to encourage you, use the name Jesus Christ as often as you can." People around here, he says, seem to be quite happy with the idea of God as creator, but they struggle with Jesus as saviour. And there's our gospel. And without him, we've got nothing. You use the name and his title as often as you can. Jesus Christ. That we use it because there's power in the name. A couple of folks have hit the news this week, and it came to my attention. through the newsletter I received from Christian Institute and a couple of sports people, just to back this up, that they are lifting the name of Jesus. Scottie Scheffler, the 27-year-old American Masters golf champion, has recently said, because he realised he was struggling with his desire to win, but he says, whatever the outcome, whatever happens, my victory is secure in the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? Lifting the name of Jesus. And then our own Ellie Ratto, 23-year-old England netball star, who prays with her teammates on court, holding hands before every match, has said a very, very similar thing. She says, whatever the outcome of this match, we know that Jesus Christ has already won the ultimate victory. Brilliant. Out in the public domain, lifting his name high. Stand firm is the encouragement this morning. Stand firm against the world, the sin, and the devil, as it says in the baptism service. Stand firm. Because whatever the world thinks it can remove for us and from us is nothing to what we gain through our faith in Jesus Christ. Church, stand firm. Use his name. Lift it high, for there's power in it. Amen.